Thrilled to have our next guest in the studio. Brian Fees is here, and I think we all knew Brian prior to the fires for his excellent cartoons, and then the fires happened, and then he did something completely different and more expansive with that particular story. Brian, welcome.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
You probably have seen some of Brian's cartoons in the Press Democrat and the story of how you incorporated your own personal fire story into first a series of cartoons and now a book.
Yeah, the day after the fire, my wife Karen and I lived up in Larkfield area. And the day after the fire, I went to the store and I bought shoes and I bought underwear and socks and I bought art supplies. And started writing and drawing this, what became the first version of a fire story. It was a web comic that I just put online. I wrote it and drew it in about 4 days, 18 pages in 4 days, which is a pretty fast clip for a comic. And because this was a story I knew I had to tell. You know, even as I walked into my neighborhood and saw what looked like a nuclear bomb site, I realized I was an eyewitness to something really extraordinary, and I just felt like I needed to tell it in the best way I knew how, which was in the form of a comic.
It's such a unique take. I mean, God knows we've told our stories time and time again, and many of us have written them down in some way or another. But this is definitely a unique take on the whole thing. And now, how did it go from a series of cartoons into the fire story book that I hold in my hands?
Well, the webcomic I put online went viral almost immediately. Something like 700,000 people read it on my blog, and KQED television sent me an email and said, "Hey, would you mind if we animated that thing?" And I had no plans to animate it, so I said, "Knock yourselves out." And they did a sort of a limited animation version of it using my diagrams, my illustrations. They just made the move a little bit and recorded my wife and I saying our lines, reciting lines from our own lives.
Right.
So they did an animated version of it that NPR picked up. Something like 3 million people saw that. And when you have that kind of
following. Yeah.
I published two graphic novels before, and my editor and publisher emailed me a week after the fire, after the webcomic had gotten a little attention. They said, "Hey, you know, no pressure. We don't want to bother you, but if you ever want to make that into a book, we'll publish it."
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Did you ever consider a possibility, Brian, when you and your wife and your community would become the subject of your cartoons?
Oh, no. No, not at all. I mean, my very first graphic novel was called Mom's Cancer, and it was a true story about my mother's diagnosis and treatment for lung cancer. So I have actually already been a character in my, in a book of mine before. But no, this was me and my wife and our kids and my neighbors and obviously the whole larger community. I mean, that's one of the sort of themes of the book is what at first strikes you as a very small story about you and your little bubble of life. Very rapidly expands when you realize, oh my goodness, there's 6,000 homes were destroyed. There's 10, 20, 30, 100,000 people affected by this thing. And, the night of the fire, we had no idea how big it was, how many people affected, what territory was affected. We didn't know. And as the hours and days and weeks pass, you just look around and it's just, oh my God.
Well, you know, Brian, it makes sense that we get it. You know, those of us who were here and lived through it in some capacity or another. But talk about, you know, the many, many people who have read and responded to these cartoons outside of our area. What kind of impact are you seeing in that way?
Well, more than I might have expected. And I think it's because there's something universal about a family or a community in trauma. It doesn't matter if it's a fire, a hurricane, an earthquake, a blizzard, a drought. You know, I think I could sit down with someone who'd been through a hurricane in New Orleans and have a lot to talk about.
Oh, no question.
You know? And not even a natural disaster, just a family under stress, you know, a community, a neighborhood under stress. People seem to kind of react the same way. So I got two reactions to the webcomic that I appreciated most. One was people who were here with us and went through it with us told me I got it right.
Yeah, I agree.
People, friends, family on the other side of the country told me that while they saw the fire on the news and they saw the great mushroom cloud rising over the Santa Rosa Plain, my story made them feel what it was like to be here.
Yeah, when you go there to, you know, to the brass tacks of this whole thing, really beginning from, you know, you trying to get out of your house and then going back to your house or what was left of your house, you know, that, I mean, it's no longer an esoteric notion. It is a real nuts and bolts, you know, what do I take? And in your case, what do I miss? You know, powerful recounting.
Oh, well, thank you for that. And one thing I wanted to do with the graphic novel version of it is to expand that a little bit. You know, the webcomic is about my wife and I getting out of the house and spending a couple weeks trying to figure out what the heck we were going to do next. The graphic novel expands it in time. It talks a little bit about the climate, about some of the things, the drought, some of the things that contributed to the fire, the geography of Sonoma County. I also interviewed other people for this book, so it's not just my fire story, it's other people's fire stories, because I really wanted this to be an act of journalism. You know, I was a newspaper reporter right out of college for 3 years, and to me, making this comic, although people don't usually think of comic strips as being journalism, to me this felt like being a journalist again.
It sure looked like it. It sure sounded like it to me. And it's also a beautiful thing to look at. And I guess at what point did you think you had enough to put together this book?
That's a great question. Because you know, you don't know when to stop.
How do you know when to stop? Yeah. It's still going on, right?
Yeah. And even as I started it, you know, I didn't want it to just be a diary of on Wednesday this happened, on Thursday this happened. I wanted it to be a book, a story with an arc, with, you know, people, characters, myself, who begin in one situation and end up in a different situation. Even though I didn't know what that difference would be, I knew something would happen. And so there was a point when I was, I don't want to give away the ending, but there was, for me, a very clear point when I was standing in the street looking at what was left of my house, and I just said, this is how I'm going to end the book. You know, it just came to me. I said, me standing here in this place, talking to this person I was talking to, this is the perfect ending for this book. And I think it worked for me.
And I have to ask you, because it is a very personal experience that you're putting, you know, you have been putting ink to pen, or pen to paper. And so I have to ask you how the Fees family is doing almost 18 months post-fire.
Well, we're doing better than a lot of people. And, you know, we were fortunate that we did have some insurance, though not enough. And we had some savings in the bank, and we had, you know, family and friends who supported us greatly. We're rebuilding in the same spot.
Okay.
And we actually got a jump on it pretty quick. So if all goes according to plan, we'll be in our new house this spring.
Fantastic. You know, spring's right around the corner.
Oh, yeah. We can't wait.
Yeah.
It's really starting to look like a home. And look forward to, you know, moving in.
Yeah. Our financial guy, Steve Reuter, lost his home in Fountain Grove. And he's rebuilding there also. And he described, you know, the changes, the important phases that this process goes through. And at first it was, you know, I'm going back to the lot.
Yeah.
I'm going back to the lot. Then I'm going back to the property. And then now, and he's a few months away like you from moving back in, and now it's home.
Yeah.
Now I got to go check on home and see how that's going.
Yeah, and my wife and I are starting to do little projects. We're starting to put shelves in closets. And the strangest thing hit me the other day. I didn't expect it, but our contractor put the little light-up number on the front of our house.
Yeah.
And it was like all of a sudden it had a name again. You know, it was christened.
Yes.
And that struck me very strongly.
Yes. And your neighbors, are they, many of them, doing the same thing you are?
Many of them are coming back, although not with the same builder. So they're at different stages.
Yeah.
But
right.
One reason we wanted to come back is we loved our neighborhood and neighbors. And we've gotten quite close during all this. And, you know, 90% of them are coming back, which isn't typical. A lot of neighborhoods are just disintegrating over this.
Oh, boy, I know. Yeah, and then we'll see how far that disintegration goes over the course of the next 6 months, even, because so many people will be in the decision-making you know, essential decision-making mode between now and then.
Well, and that's what I meant when I said that Karen and I were lucky. You know, we knew what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
We have friends who haven't decided what to do, who haven't pulled building permits, haven't found a contractor or an architect. It's just... and we know people who've left, and there's really not a bad decision to be made there. You got to do what you got to do.
You do. Yes, yes. Well, this is, I'm so thrilled to see this in book form, Brian. You've made us very proud in terms of representing your community through this, you know, horrifying and yet somewhat hopeful process. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, thanks so much.
The book, A Fire Story by Brian Fees, is coming out on the 5th of March, so not very long from now. And then Brian will be at the Schultz Museum, which seems perfectly appropriate, on March 9th, and you'll be there to sign books and things like that, I imagine.
We'll be doing, it'll be open to the public from 6 to 8 p.m.
6 to 8 p.m., and that's on March 9th, and book comes out on the 5th, so that's next week.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
wow.
It is. I know. All of a sudden, here we are. Brian, thanks for being here and continued success.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, you make us look good.